Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news. I forgot to put my microphone on, I'm a bloody amateur. Lots to get into this morning. Basically, the two big contrasts of being a Man United fan at the moment. You've got Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes saying that Ruben Amorim is on the board, on the verge of the sack. And then you've got Bruno Fernandes in a very compelling interview talking about time and how it's unfair that, you know, you win a game and you're going to win the league and you lose a game and everything's terrible. So, you know, I think it really does probably encapsulate two extremes in the fan base, which we'll get into. And there's probably something in between as well. But look, this is what we've also got some transfer news around Xerxes, a little bit around Wharton, and some pretty big updates around the new stadium as well. So lots to get into. Let's start off with what Nicky Butt has had to say, though, because this is, you know, very, very blunt. Just realised, I have got the Christmas jumper on today. Look at that. That's a good view, actually. That's a good view. Around the back. There we go. You can see around the back. Can I get that? Yeah, there's a sign on the back there. Yeah, pre-order. Available for pre-order. Links in the description. United Stands Shopify. The best one we've ever done. Can't wait for Christmas. In fact, I might just wear it every day now and be looked at like a weirdo. But we do shit worldwide. This is what Paul Scholes and Nicky Butt had to say. Nicky Butt said about Ruben Amorim and, you know, whether he's going to get time or whether he's going to be sacked. He says, look, if me and Scholesy were in charge, we'd say, right, our job's on the line here and we've got to get some wins somehow. And it's not working, the system. So my thought would be, let's go and get two or three results anyway. We can. But he's gone so far now that he can't go back. He's made a rod for his own back. Does he think he can turn it around? Does he want to go back to Portugal or Spain or another club? I don't know the answer, but it's looking to me like it's going to happen sooner or later in relation to the sack. The manager seems to be obsessed with playing this way. And if he keeps it up and does not win games, he won't have a chance to do it because he's going to be gone. It's a fact. And Scholes, he said, if you don't win games, you will lose your job. It's getting to that point now. So look, you know, honestly, I think that respect probably will go out the window. It is the United Stand community chat. But that is not an opinion that's not far out. You know, it's not like some of you don't have that opinion. You've basically got Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes, legend of the club, saying that they don't like the system. They don't like the manager's stubbornness. He's not getting the results and he's going to get the sack. Are they wrong? I mean, I feel like that on the eve of a big game against Liverpool, I do sort of subscribe to the view that we should be positive until there's a reason to be negative. Having said that, you can't police opinion, and some people have checked out anyway. Some people just think it's an inevitability that he's going to get the sack, and you can't disrespect that, even though I don't agree with that. I think we should be buzzing, excited, and expecting a performance tomorrow. And if we get a performance tomorrow, then all these negative opinions will not matter. I saw a comment from Bruno Fernandes about Juan Mata contacting him about his goal at Anfield. And Bruno Fernandes basically saying, yeah, we want to be able to do a result like that and live off it for years as well. And, you know, that's what can happen tomorrow. And that can change opinions. You know, you go to Liverpool and get a result. You can go to anywhere and get a result. So I think that, you know, but some people have made their mind up. And to be honest with you, before people start having a go at Nicky Butt, I actually thought one of the things he said was absolutely spot on. is very angry with the way the club's being run in the academy. And he said, I'm sick to death of hearing people at Man United's academy saying, it's not about winning, it's about the experience. It's fucking about winning. Because if you've never won anything from 13 all the way up, how are you expected to go and win at the first team? You've got to develop winners, because if you don't, you can't play for a big club like Manchester United. And that's the biggest thing I've noticed in the academy over the last so many years. So look, I like Nicky Butt because he worked at the club and he speaks with a lot of sense. I don't think you can just sweep it under the carpet and say, oh, he's just negative. I think he's somebody that worked in the club, basically left the club because he got fed up with it, and has more of an insight than we do to the mentality at that football club. I've never heard that before. I've never heard that as an academy, we don't prioritise winning. We prioritise, you know, developing individuals. There are a lot of academies that do this. I've got firsthand knowledge of academies that do this, and it tears my, I tear my hair out at it. They, you know, they'll turn up at a tournament. They'll take 22 players. They'll mix and match all the way through the tournament. They won't get through the group stage. And then it will just be, yeah, but we're not, it's not about the winning. It's about, you know, it's about taking part, or it's about developing players. And I'm like, fuck off. I agree with Nicky Butt. I completely agree. And if I didn't realize that Man United had that mentality in their academy. And if they do, that's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. But it's not actually that unique. As I say, I've experienced it. I'm sure some of you have experienced it. Some academies don't prioritize winning. They just don't prioritize winning. They just think ultimately it's about preparing the right players to see if they can make it to the first team. But some of these players then get really frustrated because they're like, they come off the pitch and they're disappointed because they've lost. And then the coaches are going, yeah, but that's not what we're looking to do here. It's not about winning this game. It's about, you know, when you're 18, 19, can you get in the first team? And Nicky Butt's right, because when they're 18, 19, they've got no experience of winning. You're creating people. I just think in life, in any stage of life, if you accept losing, you create a different mentality. You know, if you're meant to get up at 7 o'clock every morning, and then your mum and dad come in and go, have a lie until half seven, it's absolutely fine. You won't get used to getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning. And that's not for adults. I don't live with my mum and dad. But what I'm saying is like discipline, winning, it's a habit, and it's surprising. So I agree with Nicky Butt on that. So I can't go, oh, I don't agree with Nicky Butt on what he says about the manager, when he's just made a great point about our academy. We're so desperate for our academy to come to fruition and deliver players for us, and he's just blown the bloody doors off that we don't prioritise winning. I mean, that's absolutely shocking. But as I say, I've experienced it. I don't understand it. It's almost like the school sports day thing that annoys me, where, you know, a lot of schools now on sports day, they don't give a prize out for first prize because everybody's a winner. Bollocks. You're not a winner. If you come first place, you're a winner. You're not a winner if you came last place, you're crap at running or you fell over. You know, when you're 18 and you go for a job and someone else gets at you, you don't get the job as well, because life ain't fair, motherfucker. So, you know, I think that I think Nicky Butt's absolutely spot on in relation to that. And it's quite concerning that our academy is not prioritising winning. Participation trophy, says Lee Berman. But bringing it back to what they said about the manager, the sack is coming, say Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes. Do you agree with that? Because then you've got Bruno Fernandes' interview, which I thought was very, very, very interesting. He said, look, playing for the club is massive, but at the same time, it's a big privilege. So if I'm playing in the midfield, it doesn't change my position, but it's a privilege to play for this football club. He says, any manager who comes in here will be one game away from crisis. But at this club, it's always like that. If you win a game, it's like you're going to win the league. If you lose a game, it looks like there's a cloud over the club that won't go away anymore. So basically what Bruno's saying there is that our fan base and the media are a bunch of flip-flopped. He says, sometimes you need to look at the bigger picture. And obviously from the club side, they need to do that. As a player and a group of players, we believe that the manager can help this club get back to where it belongs. And this was his reaction to what Sir Jim Radcliffe had basically said. Because he said, if Sir Jim Radcliffe shares the player's opinion, namely that the manager is the right person for this role, then it's a good thing to have two groups of people who share the same view. Now, some people are going to say, that's all talk. That's all talk. You know, you can't. You know, Man United are very good at talking the talk. That's all talk. The owner and the players are behind the manager. Well, why 10th in the league then? Why did you finish 15th? Results will dictate what happens. But I found it interesting that, you know, you've got like Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes, maybe some of you saying it's inevitable he's going to get the sack. He's too stubborn. He's not the right guy for Manchester United. There's no adaptability. It's his way, his way, his way, his way. And that's just not going to work.
it's inevitable he's going to get the sack. And you've got Sir Jim Radcliffe, the owner of the football club, Bruno Fernandes, the captain of the football club, saying, you know, we're aligned. You know, we believe this is the guy and we've got to be patient. And we believe we will get back to where we need to be with Ruben Amorim. And that's the two contrasts in the fan base at the moment. You pick your side, you make your choice. But I thought it was interesting what Bruno said about how any manager who comes here is one match away from a crisis, and the club is always going to be like that. If you win a match, you're going to win the league. If you lose a match, it feels like storm is hitting the club. In this club, every manager is under pressure if they get bad result, and our manager is no exception. But he's very well prepared for it, and he knows what a huge challenge it is. My honest opinion on that is that I think he's right. I think Bruno Fernandes is right. I think off the pitch, he speaks like a captain. I know he doesn't behave like it on the pitch. I mean, I think it was Nicky Butt 7 months ago or so who famously said Bruno Fernandes wouldn't last a minute under Sir Alex Ferguson, the way he behaves on the pitch. But this is what we are. This is where we are. We don't have that anymore, which is why where we are in reality is not there. But I think Bruno is correct. I think he does speak well off the pitch. And I think he is correct in the sense that, you know, if we win a game, we are going to win the league. And if we lose a game, it's a crisis. We can't deny that. I can't deny that. You know that. We do the match reactions. We do the watch-alongs. I mean, I've been there at half-time and people are saying, you know, Jose out, Ollie out, and then we go and win the game. So it's not even the game. Sometimes it's half-time. So that's the world. That's the TikTok generation. That's the world we live in now. It's instant gratification, isn't it? So look, I think there is an element of truth in the fact that, you know, one loss and it's a crisis and one win and it's, you know, you're going to win the league. Look at this season. We've lost two games. Newcastle lost 12 last year. So how many games have we played? Seven. We've lost two games in seven. Seven into 38 is 5.5. And we've lost two games in seven. So times that by 5.5, that's 11 losses. We're actually on track to lose less games than Newcastle when you think about it. I mean, that's a head mess, isn't it? But Newcastle lost 12 games last season and they finished fifth. We've lost two games in our first seven. If you multiply that into 38, that's 11 losses. So we could still finish fifth in this form we are at the moment. The problem is we're 10th, but you know what I mean. I think it's very difficult. You come with a lot of baggage at Manchester United. Whether you're a new manager with a new vision, you come with a lot of baggage. Sir Alex Ferguson, Jose Mourinho, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Erik ten Hag, the Glazers, players that are light switch players. There's a multitude of negative influences on the fan base. I think some people blame the fan base and go, oh, it's the fan base's fault. Yeah, okay. So if you're somebody that's grown up in, you know, trauma, every bloody week there's something going wrong and that impacts your personality, is that your fault? So why do Man United fans get blamed for being toxic? They are literally shat on from a great height multiple times a season and they don't have any control over that. So let's not pretend that Man United fans drive the negativity around Manchester United. It makes me laugh that people insist that we need to have a more positive mindset. You know, we need to be more positive. There's so much negativity out there and we need to be more positive. What you're saying is you need to shove your head up your arse and ignore reality, because that there's nothing to be positive about. We're in ridiculous debt. We've fallen so hard. We've broken every bone of this football club on the tumble down the mountain. There doesn't seem to be a way back because we haven't healed yet. And we're meant to sit there at the bottom of the mountain with everything broken apart from our minds and go, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. And the reality is somebody pushed us down the mountain as well. But don't moan about it. It's our fault. You know, and it makes me laugh. It makes me laugh that we can't actually moan about a situation we didn't contribute to, where we've basically been forcefully pushed down a mountain and broken every bloody bone on the way down. And we're meant to go, we're the problem. Come on, come on. So I think that, yeah, look, in the balance of what Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes are saying and what Bruno Fernandes is saying, I probably sit in the middle. I can see both sides. I agree with Bruno Fernandes that every win, we're going to win the league and every loss is time for a crisis. But I also agree with Nicky Butt, especially on the youth academy. Fuck it. I mean, that's embarrassing. But I also agree with him that the stubbornness of Amorim seems to be a trajectory towards the sack based on the last 10 years. Jose, Ten Hag, everybody. So I agree with both sides, but I choose a different path of there is a way back for Amorim. and there is a way for him to be sacked. And I choose to be optimistic that and hopeful that he can survive and we can get better, because I think sacking managers hasn't necessarily worked. But I'm also realistic to the point that if he keeps losing games, it becomes untenable. So I'm not on the fence. I want him to do well. I'm hammer him in, but I'm also not going to sit here and say, oh, it's definitely going to work out, because that would make me an idiot. I think there's a very big chance he'll get sacked, but I also hope he won't, and that this talk of 3 years and getting better and he's the right guy becomes true. I don't believe in the system argument that Nicky Butt's talking about either. I don't, that's, you know, I think in life you can agree with your mates, your family members, but you can also disagree. I don't have to agree with everything they say. I don't agree with the system. I don't agree with that conversation at all. In fact, I saw, you know, forget what I think for a moment. I saw a comment from De Ligt. He's done an interview as well. And basically said, in modern football, if you play a back four, almost all teams play by building with three defenders. And we do often defend with four defenders. It's easy to say the system this, the system that, but in the end, it's always adaptable in the game. There's no situation where the system is always the same in the game. In that way of being flexible and in the structure, we have to find a way to get everything right and make everything happen. So basically, De Ligt saying, look, at the end of the day, I think it comes down to us. I've been at clubs where the history is enormous. All four are among the top teams in Champions League history with the most points. What also happens is if the history is too big, the club also expects you to be as the history is. And this is a bigger pressure than when you were at a club where maybe there's less history and you have to create history. And I think that's just a very honest assessment of being at Manchester United from De Ligt. But that was going to be my other point. Like, where I think Nicky Butt comes from is a place of being at a football club with a history, with an expectation and succeeding. You know, when Nicky Butt was coming through at Manchester United as a kid, was the expectation any different? Absolutely not. He would have been coming through in the early 90s, the late 80s, when we hadn't won a league title in many years. The pressure would have been huge. Winning was important. He worked his way through, like the class of 92, and he won things. And that mentality was a demand to be the best. And he probably looks at Man United now and goes, I don't recognise this football club. I don't recognise it. In the youth, they're not even being told to win. And in the first team, they're not winning. And they probably look at it and go, it's just so fucking logical. And you probably want people like Nicky Butt in Manchester United. And it's a shame he's not there anymore, because, yeah, Darren Fletcher was decent, but Nicky Butt is 10 times the player Darren Fletcher was, with 10 times the mentality. So you want people like Nicky Butt in. And when he's swearing and saying the club is so frustrating from top to bottom, you want those sort of people in the football club, because they get it. They do get it. And I think that whilst it can be a bit of an onslaught of negativity, especially before a game against Liverpool where we've just beaten Sunderland, and if we win tomorrow, everything's rosy again, I still think fundamentally, even if we win tomorrow, most of us would go, we'll be back here. You know, it'll be a temporary holiday. It's like going on holiday, isn't it, for a couple of weeks. Great, great, great. But we will be back here. Even if we beat Liverpool tomorrow, we'll be back moaning at some point in the next 6 weeks, because that's the roller coaster of United. And I think maybe what Nicky Butt's talking about is the whole big thing. Like, regardless of a result at Liverpool, we've done it before, but we end up back here. And I think that conversation contrasts maybe to, what does Bruno Fernandes know about success at Manchester United? What does Sir Jim Radcliffe know about success at Manchester United? What does Ruben Amorim know about success at Manchester United? When you break it down, we're listening to three people with no history of success at United telling us it's going to take time. And they've never done it at this football club. They've got no concept of what it takes to win a Premier League at Manchester United, what it takes to be in the Champions League every year at Manchester United. So these people are there going, every wins, we're going to win the league. Every loss, you know, it's a crisis. But what's the pathway out of that? You know, I agree, every win, we're going to win the league. Every loss, we're going to get relegated. But everybody knows that. It's not profound. It's true, but it's not profound. But what is your pathway out? Because when Sir Jim Radcliffe says it's not a light switch, well, you've never fucking won anything in football. And when Bruno Fernandes says, yeah, we're aligned with the owner in backing this manager, what do you know about winning league titles at Manchester United? So I think sometimes the negativity swamps the positivity and vice versa, which is why I sit in the middle of that. But they both make good points. The reality is, to stop the manager being sacked, the players need to start winning consistently. And to stop and for Amorim to get the sack, we need to keep losing. And we will find out what's going to happen very, very soon, won't we? Probably tomorrow. He needs results to survive, says Fenke. But I found it very interesting. Very interesting, and it probably would have been more suitable for an 8 o'clock show, to be honest with you. But the contrast of where we are, and there should be no guilt attached to that. I mean, God, you know, I can see the comments now. I see what the comments will be like when, you know, people who aren't watching live drop their comments. But the cold, harsh truth is, you can't argue with either side. You can, because that's life. But I think he's on a trajectory to get the sack because he's too stubborn and the results aren't good enough and the system's not working. I think if we give him time, we will get better because he's got the backing of the players, and if the board back him as well, we'll gradually get better. Life, people, is it not exciting? Are you not entertained? You know, let's see what happens. I knew someone would say, what do you think is going to happen? I think the next four games define, really. If we can go to Liverpool tomorrow and get a result, I think it gives us the confidence to go to Forest and Spurs and get a result. If we lose tomorrow, I think it becomes, you know, it's not the end of Amorim, but it sort of throws you back into that three losses already. Look, two losses from eight is nowhere near as bad as three losses from eight, is it? And I know it's only one number, but three losses from eight is nearly losing half your games again, isn't it? So I think, look, I'm massively excited tomorrow, and I think it's going to be very, very interesting how it pans out. Let's go through some other stuff. I want to get into your comments as well, but I want to just bring in, I have to laugh at this. Alejandro Garnacho, the game at Manchester United, if we play 11 against 11, I feel we would be on top. Mate, keep talking about Man United. I love it. You're just another ex who's bitter because you got dumped. Keep talking about Man United. 11 against 11, maybe Chelsea would have got a result, but you know where you would have been? Sat on the bench, pal, because that's where you were. You weren't involved. He didn't want you involved. You were on the bench, mate. So you try and claim your new club's victories that didn't happen. 2-1 Man United. You sat on the bench. Keep this football club out your mouth and focus on yourself, because you won't be able to. And I find it funny that, you know, we've got huge problems ourselves, and these ex-players who are going on somewhere else can't keep our football club out of their mouth. Very, very funny. But I'm actually doing a Chelsea watch on at lunchtime. You know what? If you watch my FC's 26 career mode on Thursday, that was a crazy Chelsea moment. I think I still won the game, actually, so get in the bin. But yeah, I'll probably just set Garnacho up to score a hat-trick now, and that's on me. From one ex-player to another, Marcus Rashford could be open to discussions on a different kind of salary structure compared to his United salary to facilitate a permanent move to Barcelona. He wants to stay at the club beyond this season. That's the end of the sentence. This is good. This is really, really good. You know, I think that Marcus Rashford is very, very happy at Barcelona at the moment. And if he's looking to... Look, I think if Marcus Rashford's on 300 grand a week at Man United and he's unhappy, he ain't never going to do anything about that, because it's the money, isn't it? The money. Why should I take a pay cut? You go somewhere you're happy and you're not the top star of the team. You know, you're being humble. I mean, Barcelona are bigger than Rashford. There are players in that team that are better than Rashford. I imagine he's at Barcelona working his arse off because he ain't the top player there. And now he's like, this is a good place to be. This is a great place to be. The weather, the club, Champions League, title race. I want to be here. I'm hungry again. I think it's a good sign that he's so hungry and he's so happy that he'd be willing to take a pay cut. And this is, you know, great news. So hopefully it will continue. And I think sometimes there are positives, and I think that is a positive news. This is exactly what I wanted to happen. I wanted him to go. I wanted him to go and be happy somewhere, and I wanted him to go somewhere that they wanted him. So it ticks all the boxes for us, and finally we can close the chapter on something that maybe should have been closed a long time ago. But that's not on Rashford, by the way. There are so many players at this football club. And I did that video yesterday about what Paul Scholes said about Casemiro, Maguire and Luke Shaw. He is right, by the way. Physically, they're not strong enough for the Premier League, and we're still relying on those types of players, which is why sometimes you'll watch 10 minutes against teams like Brentford or Crystal Palace, and you'll watch United again absolutely run ragged. You know what I mean when we're getting run ragged, you know, players are all out of, out of position, it's a mess. A lot of that doesn't come down to light switch players. A lot of that comes down to physicality, not being strong enough. They're not physically at that level anymore. And we're still relying on them. So this, we've got to start moving players on. A little bit about Xerxes here coming in from Fabrizio Romano, basically saying that West Ham have shown interest in Xerxes, but it's nothing as advanced as doing a deal yet. Xerxes wants to fight for his place at Manchester United. He's not happy with his current lack of game time, but it doesn't mean he's unhappy at the club or pushing for a move. If, however, his situation doesn't improve come January, then exploring a move away could be a possibility. So this is coming in from Fabrizio Romano in relation to Xerxes. It's been a long 2 weeks. I just want to say, hallelujah. Football is back. I mean, God, that just makes me realise how long this international break has been. And I think when we're in the international break, we feel really sad. We should feel really happy today that football's back. Because I remember on the Sunday after we played Sunderland, so 2 weeks ago, which feels like 2 years ago, I spoke about Mainoo, and I said, there's another story going to drop early this week, and it was Xerxes. So that was 2 weeks ago. We were talking about Xerxes and Mainoo potentially looking to go and knock on the door for January. Obviously, the middle of October is too early to do that, because if Sesko, Cunha, and Mbeumo all get injured, I think Xerxes is knocking on the door of the first team. So things can change between now and January. However, look at the situation, right? Does Xerxes get game time tomorrow? I can't see it. I think Cunha's going to be on the bench, so he will come on. I can't see Xerxes getting minutes tomorrow. That's one of four games before the next international break gone. Brighton at home. I mean, we've basically got four cup finals, 90 minutes. Where does Xerxes get game time? Like, if you had Carabao Cup, if we were still in the Carabao Cup or we were in the Europa League, oh, he's going to get game time. Of course he's going to get game time. But four games before the next international break, which takes us to the end of November, I can't see him getting half an hour across those four games. I just can't see him getting half an hour of football. I might be wrong, but even if he gets half an hour, he's not going to turn it into a start, is he? He is so far off the foot. I think Mainoo's closer to the first team, and I'm not convinced Mainoo's going to get much game time, but Xerxes is in a terrible position. You know, you've got Sesko, Cunha, and Mbeumo, Mount, all ahead of you. That's four. And then you've got Ahmad, who can play at 10 if someone plays at right wing back. So that's five. And possibly Bruno could be pushed in there. So that's six. So look, completely agree with Xerxes. Fight for your place, not pushing to leave. It's the middle of October. But the problem is, it's going to be the start of January before you know it. And how many minutes has he played for Man United in the Premier League so far? I don't know. I'd say it's less than an hour. Might not even be half an hour. Do you really think by the end of December, he'll have played much more? There's just not a path. It's like having five cars on your drive. You know, you might drive two of them. You might drive three of them. It's like having five cars on your drive and the fifth car isn't as good as the other four. You're probably not going to drive it. Even if you wake up on a Friday and think you are, if the other four cars are a better drive, you're not going to use it. And it doesn't mean that Xerxes is not a nice car, but you could sort of see this happening. The only thing I think with United is that Amorim probably has gone. If anything happens to Sesko, I can use him up front. And also Mason Mount's massively unreliable. So, you know, for me as a manager, I'm always going to go, I want as many options as possible. And then the season kicks in and then you hit January and you go, yeah, I don't need you. So I think he will end up going. But, you know, I think it's a shame. I think it's a real shame. I sort of look back to the I look back to the US tour, and I think that there was a real appetite from a lot of people to see Xerxes getting involved. And I thought he finished the season very, very well last season. But if there's no pathway to the team, there's no pathway to the team. Just going through some of your comments. Let me just have a sip of my drink. Anyway, Mark, look at the league table. We're literally in the middle. 5 points off relegation and 5 points off the Champions League. Everyone needs to reserve judgment. Spot on. Spoke about this on the international break, Rohan. So welcome back if you're one of those who take the international break off. The league table reads, we're 5 points off, fourth from bottom. So we're one off relegation, 5 points down. And then we're 5 points off first place, one off the top, 5 points up. So the next four games are pivotal. Every game for Man United's a cup final. Bruno is right. But I think this season, we said it before the season started, we've got 38 cup finals. I mean, the only other games we're playing is the FA Cup, and that's not till January. So every game is a cup final for Man United. It's very disappointing that we didn't get that memo for Brentford or Man City, but every game's a bloody cup final. I don't understand it. You know, I've played the game. I've coached the game. You know, you're paid professionals. You wake up in the morning. You've got no other job other than to put your tracksuit on and go and train at Carrington. You're building up for these games. I used to love playing football. I'd be going through it in my head on the way. You know, these are Man United players. What is it that makes you turn the switch off? Like, how is the switch not on? Like, every single game is a cup game for us. I understand it. You know, if you've played Thursday night football in bloody, I don't know, Baku. And then you're coming back to play Sunderland on a Sunday afternoon at Old Trafford. Mentally, that's difficult. I get it. You know, hopefully we can get a win. I'm tired, this and the other. We've got other priorities. But it's one game a week. It's the Premier League. We should be turning up. And you're absolutely right, Rohat. If we can win three of our next four and put ourselves into the top six, next international break, we're in a very different position, aren't we? If we don't, and we start dropping into the bottom half, you know, I think the conversation will continue. Thoughts on Jim Thwaites as a midfield prospect, says Andy Hart. Look, I think Lacey, Thwaites, Obi, even Heaven, you know, there are other players as well. We've got some good youth players. But what I don't want to see is people using these names as lifesavers. Like, oh, if we play Thwaites, then, you know, we're going to win the league. Like, we've never done that. It's never happened. It's never happened. Ryan Giggs, David Beckham, Ronaldo, all these players were nurtured. And I know we brought Ronaldo in, but he was a kid. These were nurtured players. We didn't drop them into a shit team and become good. So, yeah, great. Academy players. I want to see them coming through. Some of them are very exciting. But look at what we've done to our academy players in the last 5 years. Look at what we're doing to Mainoo now. Like, we need to provide the platform. I don't know whether we have the platform for that at the moment. You know, we're talking about a roller coaster team, a light switch team. Is it right to throw a kid into that? And that's my problem. I think if you are Mikel Arteta, you can put a 15-year-old on the wing at Anfield because you've got a very good team around them. And you've got the right mentality around them. Would we put a 15-year-old on the wing tomorrow? No. And that's what, you know, that's a different way of looking at Manchester United when it comes to youth development. We're all about the youth as a fan base, as a club. Arsenal a few weeks ago, when they were 1-0 down, bring on a 15-year-old. I think he did come on at Anfield, didn't he? I'm sure he did. He definitely played the week before anyway, but I think he came on at Anfield. I mean, I'm not a bloody Arsenal fan, but I think he did. They're throwing a 15-year-old in the last 10 minutes at Anfield when they're 1-0 down. Because win or lose, Arsenal have a structure. They have a strategy. They have a plan. They have a team of leaders. They have a consistency. There's no way we could throw in one of our youth players tomorrow. Not, absolutely not, because we just don't have that. And I think that's very important. That's not about a checkbook. That's not about where you are in the league. That's about where we are as a football club. Can we play a 16-year-old at the moment in that team? I think it would be a bloody nightmare for them. But I think Arsenal could. I think Liverpool can. And that's sometimes something that doesn't get discussed. That's not a checkbook. Like I say, that's on the players. That's on the manager. That's on the owners. That's the feel of the place. I don't think we look after young players at the moment. I don't think we have an environment to develop young players at the moment. And that reflects on a lot of mistakes that need to be rectified if we're going to start to provide for these young players, because Mainoo should not be sat on the bench behind Casemiro and Bruno, but he is. And he's not the only one. Morning, Mark. We've lost three, not two. Wonder how it will look in December. Hope the players don't get too comfortable with... Oh, we lost to Arsenal, didn't we? Artek. A lot of people were saying that. It's three, not two. So, yeah. Okay, that changes the story slightly because if we've lost three from seven and we lose tomorrow, that's four from eight. We've lost half our games. Also, Newcastle lost 12 games in 38 last year and finished fifth. We've lost three in seven. So seven into 38 is basically 5.5. Yeah, that goes up to fucking out. So if we carry on with three losses every seven till the end of the season, we will lose 17 games. It's amazing how one extra loss can cause a problem, isn't it? But still the 5.5 losses on 11, isn't it? So it's about 17 games, like I said. Okay, fair point. But we have played the top four in the first eight. Blas, thank you very much for becoming a member. You're an absolute... Oh, gifting a membership, Blas. Thank you very much. I don't care about the opinions of our owners, but I still listen, but I will listen to it. And if Radcliffe says 3 years, isn't Nicky Butt's opinion irrelevant? Rajath. I think Nicky Butt's opinion's worth way more than Jim Radcliffe's when it comes to Manchester United Football Club, so I don't think it's irrelevant. Flip side of the coin, so Jim Radcliffe owns the football club with the Glazers and Nicky Butt doesn't. So I think the lesson is, you know, unfortunately, I'd rather listen to Nicky Butt than Sir Jim Radcliffe, but Sir Jim Radcliffe has more power, which is why I'd love to see a change of ownership, I suppose. What's the point of the Olympics, says Wesley? I don't get the context. I'm sure that was an old comment. Champions League versus World Cup, what's better, says Rajaf. Don't really care. Bring back MUFC MPB, would massively appreciate everyone sharing score predictions for tomorrow, says MUFC MPB. I thought you were already back, mate. MUFC MPB was a massive account on X, but I thought you were MUFC MPB. You're getting a big shout out now. MUFC MPB 2 is still there. I don't know why they took your account off you, mate. I don't know. I've got no idea. 2 years of being a member, appreciate your work, says David. Thank you very much, pal. Appreciate that. Let me just go make sure I've covered everything I wanted to cover off in the morning show. What's the plan for the rest of the day? 8 o'clock show tonight, Saturday night. I've got two watch-alongs on That's Football. Chelsea at Forest at 12:15 and Fulham at home to Arsenal at 5:30. Yeah, just look, great to have football back, but also looking forward to the game tomorrow. I'll tell you what, Bruno Fernandes receiving the Player of the Month award for last month still baffles me. Absolutely got no idea how he got Player of the Month. How did he get Player of the Month for September? I mean, I just don't get it. I do not get how Bruno Fernandes got Player of the Month. It's mad. Absolutely mad. And it should get called out because he's been crap this season. He's had one or two good games, but he's been crap. And he still wins. Who votes for that? Is that fans voting for that? Or is that the club who decide that? I mean, that's just crazy to me. Did we not play Man City in September? Was that not the game where he cost us the first goal and then blamed the youngster? Like, I don't know how he won that. Brentford was September as well, wasn't it? Or was Brentford October? No, Brentford must have been September as well. I mean, who should it have been, Mark? De Ligt, Mbeumo. You know, there's probably others. I mean, it shouldn't have been bloody Bruno. Savage says probably because he created the most chances in the league. Yeah, fuck. I couldn't give a shit about most chances created in the league. I've said, honestly, I'd love Bruno to play as number 10. I still think he's one of the best players in the league in that position. I'm not his biggest fan in the midfield, and he maybe doesn't want to play there himself. So we have to be fair about that. I don't rate him as a captain anymore. I think it's a problem. I don't rate him as a midfielder. And if he's going to be in that role, I would sell him. If he's going to play as a number 10, I wouldn't. Some people can't deal with that because they just want to go, oh, you're a hater. Yeah, you're thick. You're not, because you don't listen to the context. But what I will say is that there's just no way that he should have won Player of the Month last month. Absolutely no way at all. Not at all. And it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, we've already done the video on most chances created. We did it about 2 years ago. I analyzed all the chances that Bruno creates because I can do it on Y Scout, shows you every little clip. And a lot of them are a pass to somebody who shoots from 30 yards. And that's a chance created. I can stand on the halfway line. I can pass it 5 yards, a simple pass. They can run forward and shoot 40 yards. And that's a chance created. So I don't always think that I'm not a massive fan of stats anyway, but he shouldn't have won Player of the Month in January. It's a fucking joke. And to be stood there smiling with that award, he was shit against Brent. What was our? It's got me going now. So. September. 3 games. We played 3 games in September, right? 3-1 against Brentford. He was absolutely shit. And missed the penalty. Chelsea, he played well against Chelsea. Fair play. He did play well against Chelsea. Man City, shit. He played shit in 2 of the 3 games and he gets Player of the Month. Now, I'm not saying somebody played well in all three, but you can definitely think of 3 or 4 players that deserved it more than him. Well, I'm calling that out. That's bollocks. Who voted for that? Was that fan voted for? And people say Player FC is dying. I mean, come on. I like Bruno, but he shouldn't be winning Player of the Month. I'd give it to Dalit. Dalit or Mbeumo by a long, long way. Dalit's been our best player this season. And probably Mbeumo. They've been our best 2 players this season. Anyway, I am... Edmundo says, finally you've agreed that he's not captain quality. I've backed Bruno as captain. I probably still back him as captain because it's about, is he the best captain we've got? I always said, I don't think he's a great captain, but he's the best captain we've got because we don't have enough leaders. I actually think now that his captain style is probably not conducive to what we need. I don't think when you're a team lacking confidence, you need a captain running around being petulant and throwing his hands in the air. I think you need somebody that's a little bit calmer and a little bit more, you know, vocal, but, you know, leads by example. So I don't know whether we've got someone like that, but I would argue that maybe someone like Dalit should be someone that you're utilizing more. In the longer term, I think people like Mbeumo and Cunha could do it as well. So, you know, I think Martinez could do it if he stayed fit. Anyway, thank you very much for... Champers says, what's happening with your kitchen? Well, hopefully it's coming towards an end because they're working on it today and I don't normally work on a Saturday. So hopefully it's coming towards an end. But as soon as it's ready, I'll do a live show from there because I feel like we've all been part of this journey. Roger said, what's this now? More negativity. Did anyone listen to what Radcliffe said? Well, you clearly didn't listen to what we were spoken about, Roger. I'll leave you with this. In life around Manchester United, there are people that don't like what's going on and will say it. And then there's people like you that will just be ultra positive, and that's absolutely fine. But, Roger, don't tell us that fans are the problem. Don't tell us that fans moaning is the problem. Tell me what one Man United fan did to put Man United in this situation. Effectively, we were at the top of the mountain, Roger, and the Glazers pushed us down it. And we broke every single bone in the body. We're lying at the bottom of the mountain. Nobody will come and help us. And you want us to go, it's all fine. Leave them alone. Even though they pushed us down and caused all the damage, leave them alone. I'm sorry, mate. Some people aren't going to accept that. You might. That's fine. Let people have their own opinions. You might think we're in a good position to bounce back. That's great. I'd love to know how you're going to get on that trampoline with broken legs, but look, you know what? Maybe you've got miracle hands. The point is, there's no reason to be ultra positive because Sir Jim Radcliffe says so. And there's no reason to be ultra negative because we've got a chance tomorrow against Liverpool. Sometimes it's in between, isn't it? Take care, everyone. Michael Oliver's referee tomorrow. Yeah. Look, hopefully it won't come down to the referee. Hopefully we'll turn up. I think we'll lose still, but there's a little bit of jinx around that. There's a little bit of, you know, reverse psychology around that. Because if we turn up and Liverpool don't, it's all about the first 20 minutes, isn't it? But yeah, bring it on. Anyway, I'm back on here at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Please do subscribe, smash a like on the video. And if you're watching other football today, that's football's the place to be. We start at 12:15 for Chelsea's game at Forest. And we've got Arsenal, Fulham as well. Don't forget the Christmas jumper modelled by me. This is the best one we've ever. I mean, I feel like just wearing it in the summer. It's just the best. It is the best. And I love it. I even like the fact that it's down the arm. It's got like the yellow bits there. Links in the live chat. United Stand Shopify. Order yours now. When they're gone, they're gone because they are knitted ones. So we only print so many. We have to order them in August. So we only order so many. Check it out. Thanks for watching. Take care. Stay safe. And I'll see you later on That's Football.